Welcome to BibleBap.org and the Sermon Archive Ministry of Bible Baptist Church of Monroe, Georgia. For over 45 years, the Bible has been faithfully preached from the pulpit of Bible Baptist Church each week. 1 Corinthians 1:21 reminds us that it is by the preaching of the Word of God that men and women are saved. We trust you will be blessed and encouraged by the preaching ministry of our senior pastor, Greg Butler, the church staff, and guests who fill the pulpit at Bible Baptist Church. Let's open our Bibles now as God's Word is opened and preached to us.
Scripture there. That's our text this morning. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I want to bring a message this morning on this particular theme. God's word for every day. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this promise of your word. Thank you for your faithfulness always to every promise of your word. And I pray today now that you would make this to become personal as we accept what you have promised to us. Lord, comfort and bless your people today. I ask you for the anointing of your spirit to faithfully preach and teach your word today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Over the past 43 plus years, I have stressed the importance reading about Douglas MacArthur, and he was one of the heroes of mine. He was an American military hero, but General Douglas MacArthur stated the importance of reading the Word of God himself. He said this, "Believe me, sir, never a night goes by, be I ever so tired, but I read the Word of God before I go to bed." The sixth president of the United States, John Quincy Adams, said, "I have for many years made it a practice to read the Bible once a year. My custom is to read four or five chapters every morning, immediately after rising from my bed. It employs about an hour of my time and seems to me the most suitable manner of beginning the day." Now, this was in yesteryear, but Dr. William Lyon Phelps, he was a professor at Yale University. He said, I want you to listen closely to what this Yale professor said. "I thoroughly believe in a university course for both men and women, but I believe a knowledge of the Bible without a college course is more valuable than a college course without the Bible." And that's what three well-known individuals have said about the importance of the Word of God. We need God's Word every day. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse number 10, we find an example of how God literally provides something from his table to fill and nourish our souls each day of the week. Here in Isaiah 41, if we had time to read the entire chapter, you notice it's a chapter of contrast. Isaiah 41 contrasts the weakness of man, the frailty of man, the deficiency of man against the omnipotence of God. That's the theme of the chapter before us here. And in verse number 10, the Lord gives us a message to silence fears and encourage the faith of all the servants of the Lord when we're in times of distress. It's a message that can be broken down so that there's something from the Lord that he gives us for every day of the week. And I, when I read this scripture, I think, all right, this is God's word for every day. Okay, now notice how it breaks down. Here is Sunday's word. Number one, Sunday's word, fear thou not. That's the word for Sunday, fear thou not. And it presents to us a reality. Here's the reality. It is against the mind of God. It is out of the will of God for any of God's people to live fearfully. If we're living in fear, then we're outside of God's will for us. God doesn't want us to live in fear. And yet so many people, even Christian people, persist in living in fear. Some of you of my generation remember the newspaper columnist from years ago, Ann Landers. Ann Landers had a daily column, and people would write and ask questions and express different things to her, and she'd write a newspaper column, and it was syndicated all over the United States, and this went on for decades. Ann Landers was asked one time, is there a predominant theme, something that people write to you more about than any other thing that you receive in your letters? And she said, yes, there is. She said, the number one theme that people write to me about is fear. People are afraid. People are afraid because of health issues. They're afraid because of financial problems. They're afraid because of safety issues. But she said, yes, the predominating theme, the thing that I get more letters about than anything else is people have fears. Yet God's will is not that we live in fear. There was a nationwide survey. This was several years ago, but it was released by the Foundation for Child Development. And they did a survey and they asked children, are you afraid? And two-thirds of the children that responded to that survey said they were afraid that there was someone bad in their neighborhood that was going to break into their home. 25% said they were afraid that if they went outside, they would be attacked. And it was interesting when they began to look at the results of these surveys received back from these children, that children who were addicted to television, that is, those who watch four or more hours of TV a day, were nearly twice as likely to be the fearful ones as those who did not watch that amount of television. Television produces fear in children. that God's will is not that any of us live in fear. In our text, it says here this morning, fear thou not. The reality is, it is not the will of God that we live in fear. And some people come back and they say, yeah, preacher, but what about those scriptures right there in the book of Psalm 33 and verse number 8, and Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 10, where the scripture says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. They say, yeah, now what about that right there? And that shows their lack of scholarship, because they don't understand the different in the Hebrew meanings of words. The word fear, for instance, is used in Proverbs 9 and verse number 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And Proverbs 33, verse number 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. The word fear there is the word that means to reverence. It means the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The word means respect. The respect of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Let all the earth reverence the Lord. Let all the earth respect the Lord. That's what the scripture is talking about there. And that fear is beneficial to each of our lives. Real quickly, take your Bible. Go with me over to the book of Proverbs just a moment. Look at Proverbs chapter number 14, if you would. Proverbs chapter 14, let's look at verse number 16. Proverbs 14, verse number 16. Notice that there are beneficial effects to the fear of the Lord, which is a reverence of the Lord. A respect of the Lord. If you found your place there, Proverbs 14, verse number 16, beginning of the verse. The wise man feareth, look at this, and departeth from evil. But the fool rageth and is confident. The scripture tells us about a benefit of respecting, reverencing the Lord. One of the benefits is we depart from the ways of evil. Look at verse number 27, same chapter. The fear, reverence, respect of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. This kind of fear is beneficial in the life of the believer. But that fear it was talking about, that the wrong fear, you say, what about that? The other use of the word fear is from the word that means anxiety. Fear thou not. The Lord said, don't be filled with anxiety. He says, don't be filled with fright. Don't be filled with dread, because that type of fear is not beneficial to the believer. And Sunday's word is, fear thou not. Don't be filled with anxiety. Don't be filled with dread. Don't be filled with fright. It isn't God's will for us to live under the spirit of such fear. God has provided something better for us. You say, what has God provided for us? This better than that? Well, in the book of John, chapter number 14, verse number 27, Jesus said, my peace give I unto you. The scripture tells us in the book of 1 John, the book of 1 John, chapter 1, verse number 4, the scripture says, God has provided joy for us. These things have I written unto you, that ye might have joy. Instead of a life of fear, God's will for us is that we have a life that experiences the peace that passes understanding. It is that our hearts might be filled not with dread and anxiety, but with joy, because the joy of the Lord, Nehemiah said, is our strength. God, instead of having us to fear, God would have us to be filled with assurance. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13. The Lord says there that we can know that we have passed from death unto life. We can have assurance that we're saved and on our way to heaven. God would not have us to be filled with fear. So he says on Sunday's word, fear thou not. Then real quickly, notice here there's a second one. Monday's word. What is Monday's word in the text in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10? Fear thou not. Here's Monday's word. For I am with thee. Here the Lord is reminding us why we don't have to fear. He tells us that he's with us. Have you thought about how the Lord is with us in life? Remember the last recorded words of the Lord Jesus before he ascended back to the right hand of the Father? 40 days sin. And he had the disciples all together there on the top of the Mount of Olives. And the Lord Jesus said, therefore, lo, I am with you. The Lord Jesus is with us every moment of our lives. He's with us every moment of our lives. But there's something. He's not only with us every moment of our lives. He's with us even in the valley of the shadow of death. Psalm 23 and verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And so the Lord Jesus is with us in life. He's with us in the valley of the shadow of death. And then the Lord Jesus also is with us for eternity. In the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, he said, I will never. That's time and that's eternity. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so the Monday word is this, for I am with thee. And then there's a Tuesday word. Notice the Tuesday word. We just keep reading in the text, Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, Sunday's word, for I am with thee. That's Monday's word. And then look at this, be not dismayed. Now we need to underscore this, because the word underscore here means to be discouraged. It means to be disheartened. The Lord said, when we're with him, he said, there's no reason. There's no reason to be dismayed, regardless of the problem, the difficulty that we face. And everyone here, I would think, already understands that discouragement is probably Satan's number one tool that he uses against us. There's nobody here this morning, there's nobody listening over the live stream, that has never faced the giant of discouragement. That is the tool of Satan that he pulls out most often to use against God's people. But God has a word for that in Isaiah 41:10. He said, be not dismayed. The Bible contains numerous examples of believers who fought battles with discouragement, with dismay. We read through the scripture, we read the story of Elijah. Elijah was a man that fought emotional battles. You read the testimony there in 1 Kings. Elijah was a man that knew what it was to wake up in the morning and find the devil waiting at the foot of his bed, ready to discourage him. He did battle with discouragement. The Bible tells us about Jeremiah. Jeremiah reached the place God had called him to preach, and he was preaching to a nation of people that didn't want to hear his message. And he said one day, he said, I'm going to lock down. I'm just not going to preach anymore. He was so discouraged. But the Lord was dealing with him, and he finally said, but his word was in my heart like a fire, and I could not forbear speaking. And he lifted up his voice there. Jeremiah was one. Read the book of Jeremiah, and you read the account of a man that fought battles with Satan over the issue of discouragement and dismay. John the Baptist. Have you ever thought about the battle that John the Baptist fought spiritually? Because remember, he's the one that announced when Jesus came, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And I mean, he was given the privilege to baptize the Lord Jesus. And remember, the Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove. And you had all three members of the Trinity, God the Father speaking from heaven, saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. There's the Lord Jesus who's following the will of the Father by being baptized. And here's the Holy Spirit coming in the form of a dove. And John the Baptist is witnessing all three of these evidences of the Trinity right here. But remember what happened when he was locked up? Remember when he was placed in the prison? And it was so dark, and it was so difficult. And one day John the Baptist called a couple of his disciples, and he said, would you go to Jesus and would you ask him? I just need to be sure. Art thou the one that should come? Can you imagine how discouraged that John the Baptist was? John the Baptist knew what it was to do battle with the devil over the thing of discouragement. Remember what Jesus told the disciples of John? Jesus just took out the scripture, the book of Isaiah. He said, you go back to John and you tell him.
to show you how far back it was, he'd give him a dime. And Bart would give, I think it was Bart Jr., he'd give him a dime every time he had a perfect score in school. And they had that, it was a motivation to him. During the 1965 season, the Packers went on a road trip, and at that time the Cardinals were not in Arizona, they were in St. Louis. And they had gone to St. Louis, and they had played a ball game, and Bart Starr did not play up to his standards. And he felt like when he came home that evening on the flight home, he said he just felt like an abject failure. But he said when he got home that night, the house was quiet. Everybody had gone to bed. And he said he went into his bedroom, and he looked on the pillow, and there was a note there. And it had two dimes taped on it. And it was from his son. He said, "Dad, I thought you played a great game today." Here's a man who's a Super Bowl champion quarterback. Everybody needs to be encouraged sometimes. But you know, sometimes we can't find anybody to encourage us. But God's got the answer too. Because in 1 Samuel chapter number 30, the scripture tells us that David was also, let's just read it. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. You remember, this is before David is anointed king. And remember, he and his men are out living in the woods and the thickets and so forth. They've been running from King Saul, and King Saul's tried on numerous occasions to assassinate David and so forth. And there was an occasion where that David's men were out on a, they were out in battle one day, or they were about to go into battle, and they found out that the wives and the children had all been attacked by an enemy, and they had all been kidnapped. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 30, in verse number 6, "And David was greatly distressed." Now watch this. "For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters." So they get back to the camp, and all of David's family is kidnapped, and all of his soldiers' families have been kidnapped, the wives and the kids, and they're all gone. The camp is empty, and the soldiers who followed David all this time were taking up stones, and they were about ready to start pelting David. They were going to stone David out there in the wilderness. And what does it say? "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." When we can't find somebody to encourage us, sometimes we have to open to what God has said to us and encourage ourselves with God's promises and his faithfulness to do what he said he would do. God had promised David, "I'm going to make you king in Israel. Your king is going, your family is going to reign over the kingdom, and someday my Messiah is going to come through your line, David." And David had to encourage himself with what he knew about God and what he knew about God's faithfulness. What is Tuesday's word here? Tuesday's word, "Be not dismayed." We've got to go quickly. "Fear thou not." That's Sunday's word. "I am with thee." That's Monday. "Be not dismayed." That's Tuesday. Wednesday, "For I am thy God." I want you to notice one thing there. The word "thy," just circle it. T-H-Y, it means your. It didn't say here, "I am God." When God is encouraging our heart here, he wants us to know that he is our God. He is our personal God. Tells us why we shouldn't allow ourselves to stay in the state of discouragement here. Where is there room for discouragement if the almighty, omnipotent God is our God? That's the word for Wednesday. Real quickly, look at Thursday there. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." Watch this. "I will strengthen thee." That's Thursday's word. The Lord gave us a promise. "I will strengthen thee." Now, if you write in your Bible, and I hope you do, circle, please, or underline the word "strengthen," and let me tell you something about it. In the Hebrew, which is translated into our English language here in the Bible, the word "strengthen" here is colored with, it carries the idea, the Lord is already saying, "My strength is already available to you." God said, "I will strengthen thee." In other words, God is telling us here that in his mind, the strength traditional meaning and so forth. It literally means I will, and I love this, I will surround you. Several years ago, Becca was just a baby. And after the Christmas concert in December, Stephen said, Mom, Dad said, why don't y'all ride with us? Let's go to Pigeon Forge. Dollywood does a Christmas program. By the way, if you've never been to see it, y'all do. Said, why don't y'all ride with us after the Christmas program at the church? Said, we'll drive Sunday night. We'll go to Dollywood, go to the Pigeon Forge, and the next day we'll go to the Christmas program at Dollywood. I thought, great. And it was cold. And we got up there that night, and we went to the Christmas shows and all this stuff that's going, and it was beautiful. I mean, the music was, they did the real Christmas, the message of Christmas in their program. They had the beautiful lights, and it was just gorgeous there. But when the park got ready to close that night, and it was cold, and it was time to go out toward our cars, you know, they've got these little train things that you get on to ride back to where your car is parked and that kind of thing. And there were so many people coming out there that I told Stephen, and you know, when you've got a little one, you wear out, carry them. I said, I'll carry Becca for you. And so we're coming out to get on the little train thing, and we got separated in the crowd of people. And here's Stephen and Stacy and Judy. And then here's old Papa. And I've got Becca there. She's a little bitty squirrel. And I saw how dark it was, how cold it was, and all the commotion going on. And I put Becca in a bear hug. I got on that tram, just Becca and Papa. And we took off riding through the parking lot, trying to remember where we parked in that. But I held on to her. And listen, if an old grandpa can hold on to his daughter, what can the Almighty God do? When he tells us here, I will help thee. In other words, I will surround you. If old Papa could, what can the Lord do when we need him? He surrounds us. He helps us. When we're weak, when we're discouraged, when we're in need, the scripture says, he helps our infirmities. That's what he said. And then the last thing in the text here, fear thou not, Sunday's word, for I am with thee, that's Monday. Be not dismayed, that's Tuesday. Wednesday, for I am thy God. Thursday, I will strengthen thee. Friday, yea, I will help thee. Saturday, yea, yes, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And the word uphold is a great word from the Hebrew. The word uphold, God says, literally, I will sustain you. That's it. He said, I will uphold you. I will sustain you. He said, I'll fortify you. I'll provide for you. I'll nurture you. I'll keep you fast. I'll maintain you. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we are absolutely sustained. One last scripture. Look with me, please, to John chapter 10. This ought to be a favorite of everybody. John chapter 10, verse number 27. John 10, verse number 27. Talking about how the Lord will uphold us, how the Lord will sustain us. John chapter 10, verse number 27. Jesus said, my